Hey, and welcome in everybody to the first edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Dylan Hunt Zinger, and I'm joined by a couple people that I want to introduce my co-host today. So first of all, we've got Alex Roig. Alex, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm ready to get this thing popped off. It was a brainchild of ours, and I'm happy to see it come to fruition now. Let's see how we can mess this up.
Hey, I gotta tell you what, we work fast too. Like, I think you texted me about this like last week, and it was like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
Like, we're making it happen.
I literally texted you at like one of my daughter's volleyball games, and I was like, hell, why not? Let's do this. So,
Hey,
yeah.
that's what I do, man. That's my obsessive personality. As soon as something like hits, it just happens. But it's not just me and you, man. It's not just a tandem. It's not just a duo. You know, in the process, we had to come up with some artistic things. We had to come up with some other choices, and we wanted to have another voice in this, and we wanted to have a feminine voice, and I couldn't think of anybody better to have on this podcast than my lovely wife, Chelsea, who's rocking the Pikachu headphones for the Fandom Podcast. Chelsea, how are you?
I'm great and very awkward.
Yeah, so this is Chelsea's first podcast. Me and Alex actually have a podcast where we talk about Thunder basketball, Top Thunder podcast. If you guys want to check us out, definitely do that. We're available anywhere you listen to podcasts, but this isn't about Thunder basketball. It's not about the Thunder. It's not about any of that. It's about all things fandom. It's not just Marvel, not just DC, Game of Thrones. Alex put Lord of the Rings in the bio. I've never seen Lord of the Rings, hand up. Like,
What?
yeah,
Oh, dude.
we
I
gotta fix
begged
that.
him. Hey, a couple years ago, I told you I had never seen Harry Potter. So, and there's a slice of the population that has seen and has, completely taken in Harry Potter. My daughter, I have a daughter that loves Harry Potter, and we're going to Disney later on this year. And we're literally going to Universal just so we can go to the Harry Potter section
There
of
you
that for
go.
her. Exactly. Yeah, so we're spending like hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that, but she wants to see it. She loves Harry Potter, and so I've actually watched a couple movies. I've seen them once. Can I tell you that I remember too much? Probably not, but I get the gist of Harry Potter. So yeah,
Right.
Potterheads.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And also, we're gonna cover Harry Potter. In the process of this podcast, me and
She'll
Chelsea will probably watch Lord of the Rings.
be a guest on that show.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, me and Chelsea will probably watch Lord of the Rings. Alex will probably finish Harry Potter and all that, like sometime in the vicinity of this. But also Star Wars. I mean, just all things fandom. The boys, like we love the boys. The boys
Oh,
is
yes.
awesome television. We'll cover the boys. They're going to be in hiatus for a while, but yeah, this.
For adults only.
Yes, absolutely.
Children should not be watching that one.
Absolutely not.
I'm
Some
not even
adults
sure
shouldn't be watching.
adults should be watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they did some things in this last season. It was wild, but it was
My
fun.
anaconda don't want
All
none.
right, but yeah, like I said, we're talking all things fandom. This is a podcast for all things fandom. So, whether that be eating your Flamin' Hot Cheetos with chopsticks or discussing if Captain America was a virgin, we're gonna be covering it all. So, and what better jumping off point than to talk about the newest Disney Plus show for Marvel, She-Hulk. And I was very excited for the show. I know people had some mixed reactions, kind of going into it. I was super hyped whenever I heard about the casting. I never watched The Orphan Black, but I know Tatiana Maslany. If I'm butchering that name, I apologize. I know she's like a critically acclaimed actress. And I was excited to see her on the big screen. And then whenever Mark Ruffalo was announced to be coming onto the show, and we saw the clips of him in the trailer, super stoked. So before I say that I was super excited for every part of the show, let's just jump right into it. So, we kind of open the show and she's giving like a dissertation, like her closing arguments. But it's like a rehearsed thing that she's giving to her colleagues to, kind of pass the test. And as it like slowly pans out, you see a lot of things on the shelf. I don't know, Alex, like I was talking to Chelsea about it, but like there was a lot of Easter eggs, on that shelf. I think she's like a UCLA alum, so shout out Russell Westbrook. there was a book that said Bad A Women on there, and
Oh, okay. I didn't, so I didn't look at all that. I actually, the bar scene was more where I looked at the stuff around her, but
see, I
we'll
didn't
get
even
into
see.
that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I'm
Yeah.
glad you paid attention to that because I didn't get there. So, but yeah, it was it was fun to see, her established like immediately, like, hey, like not only is this what I do, like this is my stuff. Like I'm good at this. I own this crap. And immediately we see her break the fourth wall. And that's not something we've seen a lot in media in
Outside,
general. But yeah, but like
yeah,
Deadpool.
outside of Deadpool.
Yeah. Deadpool's all we got. Chelsea, I know you got some opinions on this show. How did you feel about the fourth wall breaking?
I mean, don't know. I don't dislike it, but sometimes it feels corny when that's not like the character's like thing, like it is for Deadpool, but it was fine.
I thought they did a good job of like not having too much of it. Like
Yeah.
Deadpool, like Ryan Reynolds is, he's just a natural like comedian, he has a comic shtick to him, and he just
Yeah.
naturally knows, how to work that camera and how to work that whole breaking the fourth wall thing. I thought they did a good job of like just introducing that little aspect into the show, but also knowing that it's not going to happen all the time. I hope they don't do it all the time. I hope it's just like interspersed here and there, and it adds a little bit more of that comic relief.
There's been a little bit of it sprinkled in other projects, but never them speaking to the camera, just like randomly making eye contact, where you're like, oh, do they know something that
Jim
we
Halpert
don't
in the
know?
office.
Yeah, but not in like a funny way, almost in like a like I'm watching you watching me kind of way.
Yeah, I found it funny that scene whenever wherever Bruce is training her, and she turns around and she starts talking to the camera, and he looks at her like, "What the hell are you doing?" Yeah, it almost felt like, one of our kids. I don't know if your kids do this, but like, my kids would be like vlogging themselves doing something, and like I'll be in the kitchen, freaking like, cooking something. They walking around with a camera, and I'm and with their phone, and I'm just like, "The hell are you doing?" Like,
I
no.
have probably 50 videos on my phone of AJ vlogging himself going, "What's up? It's your boy AJ."
So that same face that we make all the time was the face that Bruce Banner made at that moment. I was like, I recognize that face right there.
Oh yeah, it was amazing, man. And like, what was interesting to me in that moment, like in that scene, it's like, obviously whenever she first broke the fourth wall, she was like saying, okay, so this is how it ended up here. And so, okay, you're taking us back. I don't remember how long was, did it say 4 months? Am I right on that, or was it
It
more
was
than that?
several weeks, I think it said.
Okay, now I'm just terrible. I'm terrible with units of time and measurements and stuff. That's cool. But like obviously we knew it was going to be like a throwback, and so I was thinking, okay, maybe we're going to see how the whole fourth wall thing comes about. But they just kind of threw it in there, like in that bar scene. Like, I don't know. That was weird, right? Like that she just started doing that with no explanation.
So from what I gather is that they had to do a couple reshoots on this show because from what I hear, shout out to new rock stars, they mentioned on their podcast that the whole introduction part of like her story, her introduction story was going to come in the eighth episode, not the first episode. But I guess they saw how it kind of flowed. And so they kind of brought it back to the first episode, but within that, I guess they had to do some cutting of some scenes, and so the whole bar scene, I think that was probably supposed to be a little bit more, but they just kind of ended it with like Bruce tackling her and then her waking up in Mexico.
Didn't even realize Bruce tackled her until they said it. Maybe
Yeah.
I'm just an idiot.
It
But
was very much like a boyer.
exactly. It happened in the flash. And so if you're not paying attention, if you're watching on your phone or something like that, you may not necessarily see it. But yeah, definitely. Like, you can tell that there was some parts there in the introduction that seemed a little bit off, seemed like there were reshoots, seemed like they were, you know, cut and spliced and certain types of things. And so, you know, Marvel does a great job of editing that stuff, but you can still see that the continuity of it was a little bit jagged.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about before the pod, you know, there's going to be bumps in the road in terms of how we do this because we've got to establish our rhythm about how we're doing this. But you know, I don't want to go beat for beat for like, you know, I don't want to recap the episode like we're doing a rewatch.
No, yeah.
But so let me ask you this, Alex. You know, as I mentioned, you know, kind of, you know, leading up into the recap, there was a lot of negativity around the CGI for She-Hulk specifically. And you know they released a trailer, you know, I think like a month ago, and everybody said that it looked better. But like in the show, like how did you feel about CGI? You know, since I'm proclaiming you a CGI expert in this moment, how did you feel about
Really? Okay.
it?
So much better than the initial trailer that came out, you know, a couple months ago. As I don't know, I don't necessarily key in on that unless it looks terrible. And it didn't look terrible to me. And so, you know, she kind of looked a little bit, because the thing is, she's a skinnier version of Bruce Banner. Like Bruce Banner's a lot more thicker, he's a lot more, and so she's a lot skinnier of a version of that. And so she looked kind of like an avatar, just, you know, a greenish colored avatar. Whenever she's jumping and, you know, they're jumping from place to place, she's coming up from the cliff, you know, after he pushed her, you know, she looks very avatarish, which is fine, which is okay. You know, I'm not necessarily focused on that. You know, the when they were fighting, it was very crisp, it was very clean. Whenever she was fighting against is it Tatiana or Titiana?
Titania, I think.
Titania, yes.
Titania.
Titania. They focus on her Titianas. But yeah, Titania. So whenever she's fighting against her, you know, in the courtroom, it's very clean. So CGI, I don't, you know, I'm not a CGI Nazi. I just want those scenes to be clean. They were.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that kind of works against She-Hulk CGI is, you know, Hulk, like his CGI, like his render was done in like a multi-million dollar like movie budget. And they've just been able to carry that over through projects. And you know, that's where it is, like in the show. Like that was done in like a multi-million dollar budget. And so She-Hulk's CGI isn't like inherently bad, but compared to, you know, multi-million dollar render, like, you know, it does look a little weird. Now, I also think a lot of it's, you know, just kind of like the facial hair and the natural aging on, you know, Smart Hulk's face, like, you know, because, you know, Bruce is older than
Why?
Mark
Why Smart
Wahlberg's.
Hulk? Why
Yeah,
Smart
Chelsea
Hulk?
was very
I
upset
have
that.
quarrels and I'm upset about this.
So what are your quarrels? Because I
Because
mean
is
that's
it
a lot
not
that's a,
Professor Hulk?
oh okay.
Because
So
that's
you're
what
just looking at
I.
the adjective. You're just looking
Yeah,
at
why
the
Smart Hulk? That sounds stupid when we
adjective.
all know him as Professor Hulk. Just call him Professor Hulk.
Well, maybe it's because it might be confused for Professor X. The professor part is already taken by another character that may
Boo,
be
that's
coming
a,
soon.
yeah, maybe, I don't know, but Smart Hulk
So
sounds dumb.
let me ask you this. So it was an origin story. It was a lot of her origin as far as becoming She-Hulk. So the accident that caused her to, you know, drip, you know, caused her blood to mix in with Bruce's blood, which is, as far as, you know, hygiene, ill. But, you know, but so before that crash happened, of course, you saw one of those, you know, ships from Sakaar that is what caused them to swerve and to go ahead and crash. So my question to you is, who do you think is on that ship? And then mind you, I don't know if you saw the one shots that were on Disney Plus with Thor and Grandmaster wasn't one of them, but Thor, I guess it's like between, like before
Oh yeah,
Thor,
like
Love and
Civil
Thunder.
War and
Yeah,
Ragnarok.
exactly. Yeah, so he's chilling in Australia and he finds a friend. I think his friend's name is
Daryl.
Dean or Daryl
Yeah.
or Dean or something like that. And He's roommates with Dean for a little bit, and then Dean moves to LA and he finds a roommate there, and the roommate happens to be the Grand Master. And so the Grand Master is in the United States. So maybe, you know, that was the Grand Master, or maybe, see, I think it was his second in command, the lady, I forgot what her name was, the thicker lady.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name
Yeah.
is.
I think it might be her, but I think this is kind of, you know, this might be setting up, you know, World War Hulk, or you know, World Breaker Hulk, you know, that storyline. And you know, they're going to introduce his son Scar. So I just thought it was very interesting, and I just thought it kind of sets things up for the future.
The one thing I picked up on was he said, when you, or he said something about become a Hulk, like, not I'm Hulk,
Like when you become a
and
Hulk, or
when
when
you
you're a
become
Hulk.
a Hulk,
Like there's
as
others,
if
yeah.
to imply there's others, which we've seen Abomination. I guess he's technically, you know, a Hulk, but there was definitely an implication that there's another Hulk or other Hulks about.
Yeah. And,
Yes,
you know,
see, I said, you know, we're going to be debating on if Captain America is a virgin. Like, now we're debating on if the Hulk is a virgin. Not Bruce Banner, but the Hulk. You know, he said he was in space for 2 years. I mean, I'm just saying.
appropriate.
The like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park would say, life finds a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I could absolutely see the whole World War Hulk. I don't know why it's so
That's,
hard to
I
say.
can't say
It's very, it's
it
difficult to say.
either.
World War Hulk.
Yeah,
Yes.
I could definitely see it being that, but I could also see it maybe possibly tying into Secret Invasion. You know, with the whole Skrull Kree War thing. You know, obviously Sakaar isn't necessarily like connected to the Kree or the Skrull directly, but something as expansive and impactful as a war between two of like the biggest alien races in the galaxy could absolutely cause, you know, the people of Sakaar coming to their champion, because the Hulk was their champion at the end of, you know, Ragnarok. When he left Sakaar, he was still like their reigning champion, coming to their champion for help, like, you know, asking for help. So I could see
Well,
him.
not just that. I mean, in Thor, Love and Thunder, we had at the end, we had the introduction of Hercules. And one of the biggest foes for Hercules is Hulk. And so maybe Hercules is off fighting in Sakaar. Maybe Hercules is now the grand champion. Maybe it's Beta Ray Bill, you know,
Please
whoever.
don't tease
You know,
me.
but, you know, that may be a situation where that may call him back to Sakaar for whatever. And they may be using his son as like a hostage. They may be using his son as collateral for him to come back. So I don't know. I thought it was very interesting, and I thought it was not done, not on purpose. Like that ship was there because that ship is a symbol of Sakaar, and so eventually he either has to go back or he's already gone back or whatever. So that will come to play here in the future.
Yeah, Chelsea had a her first thought in that car accident was what, Chelsea?
I don't remember.
As soon as the ship came down and how
Oh, I said, why do people swerve like that so dramatically? And it's only, I mean, it does happen in real life, but like TV shows like make it so much more dramatic than it needs to be.
as someone who has hit two deer in his lifetime while traveling on the highway, I do know that you do not swerve. You
No,
just
you just hit
keep your hand on the wheel, and
it.
you just kind of move slightly. And if you hit it, you hit it, you know, but you do not swerve when you're going at those speeds. So, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, kind of sticking with the wreck, you know, Alex, you know, I was talking to Chelsea whenever we was watching it. I immediately, like, my thought was like, oh, this is how she gets her powers. Like, my head immediately went to like, she's about to go unconscious. She's going to need a blood transfusion. Bruce is going to give her blood. And then Chelsea was like, what do you mean? So like, she's up, she's fine. Like she's just cut. Like Bruce is the one that's like hurt. And, you know, lo and behold, like, you know, that's what happened. You know, kind of like you alluded to, Bruce was cut open. And it was interesting that like his blood literally just like falling on the skin was enough to like transform her
Well,
instantly.
she had an open wound also.
So it
Yeah,
was a
she
blood
had a cut on
transfusion.
her arm.
It
So I wasn't
was
wrong.
a, yeah, pretty
Well,
much
I mean,
it was a
that's,
sort of blood transfusion per
yeah,
se, yes.
not an intentional one, but
Details, details, whatever. But yeah, man, so that was really cool to see. And kind of one of the big like themes, not even a theme, like one of the thing that really that I enjoyed was just the inferiority complex that Bruce had to go through. Like he's sitting here trying to explain to her like, this is how you do it. It's gonna take you so long. It took me 15 years. And like she just starts playing with him, man. She's like, anything you could do, I could do better. Like it's the old Gatorade commercials.
I thought that was very interesting as far as their relationship, number one. But I thought it was very interesting that, he was completely surprised at how her Hulkdom manifested itself as compared to his manifestation of the Hulk, whereas his is more like it's almost like a DID type situation. It's like a dissociative, identity disorder, where it's two different, two different personalities. And whenever he first became the Hulk, he would not remember whenever he became Bruce Banner, the memories of the Hulk, or what he did while he was the Hulk. Whereas, She-Hulk, she was just like, okay, I could kind of turn it off and turn it on, anytime I want. And I loved like that. I love that conversation they had where she was like, look, I've learned how to control my anger throughout my entire lifetime as far as being a woman. You get caught cat called on the street, you have male coworkers that are saying that you're inferior, all this and that. And so I've learned to control my anger. And so I thought that was a very like powerful statement, number one. I thought it was kind of cool because, whenever you think of like men versus women, and I love to like I love to think back to those videos where guys put on the tens units on their abdomen to kind of show them how like the PMS period pain is, and like they can never get to 10. Like by five, they're already taking it off. They're like, what the hell? And like women are like, that's me every 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And women are like, yeah, that's me every 3 weeks. So it just kind of showed that women have like this sort of strength, and their ability to control their rage, control their emotions is sometimes misguided or misinterpreted in media than it is in real life.
Yeah, Chelsea, you wanna talk about your thyroid levels?
No, not really. Not
She
really.
be hawking on you. She be hawking on you,
Well,
Dylan.
let's just
No,
say, she's a superwoman.
I've apparently been very ill and carrying on as if nothing is wrong with me. So it's a perfect
I
indication
mean,
of
hey, the
how.
day. That's women right there. My
Yeah.
wife, she's four C-sections, and she has, a disease here, a disease there. It's just like she just carries on. Just the strength of a woman is very strong. And so I think that kind of shows itself on this in this series. And I think Jennifer Walters, Tatiana Maslany is going to do a great job of representing that and carrying that forward in the series.
Yeah, and it also shows like, I think Bruce did a good job of representing like, the average male. Like, I never thought about that. Like, I never even considered that like you would be better at this than me because, I had such a hard time. So I just thought you was gonna have a hard time. So
Well,
it,
I think he like really resisted it too. And she was obviously already aware of his like journey and experience and like coming and accepting it. So she had a jumping off point that he also didn't have, a bit of an advantage from that regard. But like, yeah, he like super resisted it for the longest time, whereas she was just like, okay, well, what else can I do but just it be what it is.
And I think with Hulk, you see like a you see a situation where it's primal versus civilized. So whenever he's the Hulk, like his reptilian brain takes over, and it's definitely fight or flight, and it's the fight part of it. Whereas when he's Bruce, it's more of a probably a flight type thing, use my mind. And so you kind of see the whole, the dichotomy of the fight or flight, responses when it comes to Bruce and when it comes to Hulk. Whereas I think She-Hulk, can kind of meld the two and make them very successful together.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed and just appreciated their dynamic. I thought that, the two actors, Bruce Banner, Mark Ruffalo and Tatiana Maslany, both played off each other really well. The fight scene, it was one of the more humorous and also just enjoyable fight scenes because nobody was really getting hurt. It was just, them both trying to make a point. And just the surfboard and the coconuts just repeatedly hitting Hulk and breaking his glasses and making it matter. Crap like that kills me. Like I was telling Chelsea before we was watching, I was just watching TikTok. I'm like the little water bottle like on a string of like a ceiling fan and people like blowing themselves. I could watch those for hours, man. I never get sick of that. Yeah, this just that kind of situational comedy, I really appreciate. But
So
one other.
am I the only one, real quick, whenever they were in the in his lair, and he was analyzing her blood, and he said, "Ah, it's a rare combination of genetic factors that allow us to synthesize gamma radiation." Did anybody think mutants real quick? Am I the only one that thought mutants real quick?
I would just like more information on, I don't even know how they're related. I would love just a little bit more. And I know they're cousins, but okay,
Cousins.
how? Like,
I
I
think we're
just
going to
want
get
more
more into that.
information there.
I think we're going to get more into that because he mentioned a cousin, Ched, who's the real genius, he said.
Yeah.
So we'll see if cousin Ched makes an appearance.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of appearances, like this show's gonna have a lot. Like we've seen Wong in the trailer. Obviously, we've seen Daredevil in the trailer. Like, there's a lot of rumored appearances that are gonna be taking place. Like, this show's gonna be fun. And like, honestly, people were annoyed with the episode length and how many episodes it's gonna be. But like, I really enjoyed it for what it was. One
Why were
last,
they annoyed by the link?
just because like it's so bite-sized, they didn't feel like they could get enough
It's
content out of it.
38 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder. I know
It's
they've
like
released,
6 minutes shorter than the other ones.
and every episode has a post-credit scene.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. Oh yeah, that reveal, Captain America.
was funny.
Love it. Last thing that I had to say about it, and then I'll kick it off to y'all and see if y'all have any final thoughts. But whenever she first comes to at Bruce's beach hut, and she goes downstairs in the lab, and he's like, "Hey, you're like you were saying, Alex. Your blood was able to synthesize, and it was able to take the gamma radiation like better than I would have thought. All this stuff." And he's like, "I was able to take what I learned about your blood and a transfuse it to my arm, and my arm's completely healed. I'm good now." And the last time we saw the Hulk, last time we saw Bruce Banner was the post-credit scene in Shang-Chi, whenever him, Captain Marvel, and
Long.
Wong was Rhodey there. I thought there were three holograms, and then Wong was like physically there.
Possibly.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, it's details. It's not important, but he very clearly had a sling still on his body, like still hold on his arm in that post-credit scene. So that tells us timeline-wise, She-Hulk, or at least the origin of She-Hulk, takes place after the post-credit scene of Shang-Chi. Yeah. In terms of the importance of that, I don't know, but I do think that it's just fun to note, like in terms of timeline, like establishing a timeline. It helps me out anyways.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
timeline's
it
super fuzzy for me at this point.
did.
I'm just going with the flow. I can't keep up with it anymore. Yeah.
I mean, I guess one final thought for me was I really enjoyed the kind of waxing poetic on the relationship between Bruce Banner and Tony Stark. You don't really see it too much in like the Avenger movies, and you see them as like intellectual, like very similar as compared to like Captain America, Thor. They were the intellectuals of the group in the Avenger movies. But like you see, during the blip, how much they connected probably because, again, through their through their intelligence, they're probably able to kind of, you know, talk about how to defeat Thanos, how to, you know, how to get over this. And so it, to me, it seems like they developed a very good relationship, and it seems like, you know, he misses him a lot. You know, he misses Tony Stark. And you can see that in the different things in the bar, in the you know, in his story of how that bar was created and how that lab was created.
Yeah, I also do like
BV and TS.
yeah I do like the kind of callback. You know, Marvel's done this a little bit in the past. You know, they did it with Mandarin and Shang-Chi, kind of just retconning things that didn't make sense. Whenever he was talking to Jennifer about how he was able to power down, he was like, you know, what Natasha would sing me a lullaby. She's like, how does that work exactly? It's like, you know, can't really explain it.
Because it was stupid.
I like her voice.
Chelsea, did you have any final thoughts on the episode?
No, I don't think so.
Chelsea
Well,
said she was gonna take. Oh, go ahead.
the only thing that really bothers me is her hair as She-Hulk. No one else probably cares, but I don't understand why her hair is curly when she's regular and then long and like wavy. I know that's what She-Hulk is supposed to look like, and that's fine. Why wouldn't her hair just be that way when she's regular then? Why does it change back and forth? I don't understand. But that's just a personal problem that I'll have to deal with.
That gamma radiation.
It's like Frankenstein's wife. Whenever you see her, it's like she's been shocked. That's what her hair looks like.
Well, okay, the answer to that is she was shocked and electrocuted.
Well, she's shocked with
There,
gamma radiation when she turns into Hulk.
but then her hair would be not straight.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. And it probably should
Yeah.
stay that way when she goes back to normal. But, you know,
I like that observation, Chelsea. I like that.
Yeah, that's what
this
I've
is
got
why
to
we have a
offer
woman
here.
on the podcast.
Yes.
Just never would have thought about that. Chelsea, you know, you did say you was going to take notes before we started watching the show, and you took one note. What was your note?
It was the thing I said earlier about more Hulks.
Okay. Gotcha. Good deal. Well,
Do.
in the future, we'll take more notes, but hopefully you guys enjoyed the pod. This was the pod. That was She-Hulk episode one. Overall, I enjoyed it. You know what? I'm gonna throw something in here. So I think at the end of every episode, but no matter what it might be, whether it's Marvel, Game of Thrones, DC, whatever, anything that we're reviewing, I'm gonna give it a scale. I want us to kind of scale it, and how I want to scale it is two thumbs up, one thumb up, fist, thumb down, two thumb down.
So this is like C,
Neutral.
meh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll start. Ladies first, Chelsea, what is your ranking for She-Hulk episode one?
It's just in the middle.
Of course it is.
It
That doesn't shock
has
me
to
at
have
all.
room to go up or down, but I'm not like, wow, my
So,
mind is blown.
such a woman move right there. Like, I don't want to give her too much credit. It was all right, but yeah.
All right, Alex, what about you?
I give it one thumb up.
Yep, that's.
There's room for improvement, but I thought it was a lot better than I thought it would be coming into it.
It was way better than the trailers, especially that first one. That first trailer was
So
painful.
she came in thumbs down
Yeah.
two
So,
thumbs down.
like this, and eventually she got to here, so.
hey, moving on up. Well, hey, I was one thumbs up, and I'm probably one thumbs up. You know, one thumb up going in, and I'm one thumb up coming out. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, you know, it had some really fun moments. You know, like Alex said, like it didn't blow me away or anything like that. I do think there's room for improvement, and you know, there are going to be some wow moments, you know, with the cameos that are going to be happening in this episode, and you know, as episode in the show, and as the show continues to grow, as Jennifer Walters kind of, you know, comes into her own as a character, like the show has a lot of potential, and I'm excited to be along for the ride. I'm excited to have you guys along for the ride. I'm excited to have the listeners along for the ride. So,
Wait, I have a question. Do we get to talk about House of Dragon?
Chelsea, I'm
I
gonna
mean,
tease at
hey,
the end.
Sorry, that's all I can think about right now.
Okay. Yes. So, as we conclude our discussion of She-Hulk, yeah, burying the lead. That's what we do on the Top of Thunder podcast. House of Dragon premieres Sunday.
21st, baby.
We're all big Game of Thrones fans, Chelsea and Alex more so than me, but I really do enjoy the series and I'm very excited. I know, I mean, Chelsea just told you how excited she was. Alex, how much you looking forward to this series?
I am jacked, man. Like Sunday, it's, I have HBO Max. It's not like I have H, like I used to have, back in the day, you had HBO and you had to wait till like 9 o'clock. But like I have HBO Max, you can watch it anytime. So Sunday night, I'm waiting for all everybody to go to bed, all the kids to go to bed, the wifey to go to bed because she's not really into that type of stuff. And as soon as everybody's out, turn off all the lights, put on HBO Max, and go ahead and dive into the world of George R.R. Martin once again.
Jumping back into Westeros.
I'm so excited. I could literally cry.
All right. Well, hey, with that being said, we'll be back. I think, it premieres Sunday, so we'll probably have a podcast up, or we'll probably record a podcast Monday night. So that'll be on your feed on Tuesday. We'll cover all things fandom, man. Like there's so much going on in the world of fandom. There's so many fandoms to speak of. Like it's just a great time to consume so much content. And we're very excited to have you guys on board for this and hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, follow us on Twitter at topic_fandom, the topic for the podcast. This is our first episode, so I don't know if our RSS feed is completely set up yet. I don't know when we will be on Apple and Spotify and all that, but rest assured, we will be on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast, you will be able to find us. Just search Topic Fandom Podcast. And yeah, with that being said, on behalf of myself, Chelsea, and Alex, y'all have a great night. God bless. Brush up on your Hulk syllabus. This has been Topic Fandom Podcast.
See y'all.